Hey everybody, this is What the What. I am Scott.
Renee.
Jeff. And I have a question for you guys. But before I ask the question, I have to warn you because I am two things today. I am super cranky, okay? And I'm really like just kind of sort of like agitated, kind of on edge a little bit because in my life I am so busy right now. And when I get really busy, I get agitated and I get like sort of amped up. So I just, fair warning.
Okay.
So you know, right? And so,
That's like me when I'm hungry.
is that
I
right?
get angry. I get so mad. The smallest, yeah.
I totally get that. So if I'm hungry and like busy, then I'm like just a demon.
Oh, I just saw this meme that says, if you think everybody hates you probably need a nap. And if you hate everybody else, you probably need to eat. It's like,
That's
that's
great.
actually kind of true.
Well, maybe I'll have something to eat and take a nap.
Yeah, there
So,
you go.
all right, I'll see you guys later. Oh, wait, I have to do the topic this week. I guess I can't just walk out, have something to eat, and take a nap. So,
Do you want a beer?
no, I have my coffee. So
I'm
that'll,
sure that's helping.
that'll help a lot. So, I want to start by having us have a little discussion, and each of you tell me about a time when you felt that your creative endeavors were rewarded. When you felt like your creativity was noticed and that it just felt good. And you're both pausing.
Do you have something?
Nothing. I mean, you get some likes on Facebook, you get some the picture I had from a local play here that got into the Arizona Daily Star. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice
But
when your stuff is out and
yeah.
like out in the world. So, I mean, you didn't get like gold stars when gold scars. Did you get a gold scar? Get gold stars when you were in kindergarten, or was that only me? Did I get all the gold stars in the class?
I went to Montessori, so you just were part of a creative space,
Just
and
got another block.
you
Yeah, it's
didn't
like,
you weren't special. You're
right.
just like, this is what you do. You're just a creative person. And I do remember going into traditional Montessori ends at sixth grade. The Maria Montessori based program ends at sixth grade, and so in seventh grade I transferred to a small private high school, K through 12 actually school. And it was like going to Hogwarts. It had a campus. Had green lacrosse fields, teachers lived on campus, the buildings were old, and it used to be an academy for a military academy. And I do remember, partly because I was gone to Montessori program, I didn't have we Montessoris don't have grades, so you just do the work, and it's not necessarily self-paced. I think that's a miss people don't really understand, but you didn't have homework and you didn't have grades, you just learned. That's what you did. And so when I went and transferred to this other school, I found it really easy because I had already structured my life in a way that was all about like how do I best learn something. And so when I moved over, I just did the work, and it wasn't anything, I didn't think anything of it. And I did get a lot of like, whoa, from the other students and from the teachers. And I didn't really understand what the big deal was, but it had just been because you just what you did learned. So that was a big like, yay, a lot of like concrete praise, specific praise about education, but that's separate from creative endeavors, right? Like creatively, when I write a really weird story and it finally gets published, and I'm like, someone gets it, and it gets rejected 36 times, but then it'll get printed, or put out into the world.
And that happens a lot for writer. I mean, it happens a lot for creative people that your stuff
Yeah.
gets rejected
Oh,
before it gets accepted.
I it's rejection is 90% of it. It's huge.
I always think about like actors who are auditioning, and I've run many auditions over the years. And it's funny because it's almost as uncomfortable for the people doing the audition, particularly if somebody comes in and they're like, let's not say bad, but particularly not suited to a role, which can mean they're really bad. And you just know, everybody sort of knows it, and they know they're not doing well, and you're sitting behind a table and just kind of staring at them. So that's kind of the opposite of like,
Yeah, yeah.
a good feeling, right? And it happens. I think for me that I've had lots of opportunities in my life to have the work that I do recognized. I thought when I was writing this question and asking the two of you, I was thinking about film festivals that we used to go to because there was a time where we put a lot of shows in that we made into film festivals because it was great tax deductible travel, right? And sometimes they'd even pay for you to come to a festival. So we'd have these little narrative shorts or documentary shorts or something like that. And, you know, sometimes you actually do that. You win some kind of an award or something. I mean, we never were at the big ones. We were at festivals you've never heard of, but it was still fun to do that. Or like Jeff said, you know, when an image of mine is printed in a magazine or something like that, you know, I always kind of love that. There's a certain kind of recognition to it. But I also think that, like, for me, and when I was examining this, that, like, all of that feels good and it's all great. It's like the, you know, it's like the little heart on Instagram. It's like, oh, somebody likes that. And there's like a little adrenaline rush when it happens. But I want to kind of follow up on that question with, what kind of affirmations do you really need in order to keep doing the creative work that you're doing? And is it based at all on that sort of good feeling from recognition from other people? Or is there something kind of intrinsic about it that keeps you doing the creative work that you do?
I think this is kind of a hard challenge to think about as far as like being a creative person, in that part of the point of being a creative person beyond just putting it in my diary is I do want to engage in conversation with the reader. Like, I want my material to be in the world because feel like I have something to say about that, and putting it into the world, and I want other people for it to land. And so I think that is the creative loop that I want to be engaged in as a writer. So if it doesn't land, like if you don't get any feedback on that, that can be hard, because that's kind of the point of it, is to do a painting, do a piece of work. But I was talking about this actually with my online level one students just yesterday, talking about how do you know when a story is done? And we talk about this idea of the big story versus the small story. So the small story is all the plot points. It's the what's on the page. But the bigger story is, what are you trying to say about the world? Like, what is this story really about? What sort of thesis are you putting into the world? And so I find that for me, even though I make like that, it's great to have the likes, but again, my stuff's real niche, so I'm not going to ever be really popular. If I can craft something that achieves the thesis that I'm trying to create through the creative work, that it can be sufficient. If I can just write it and finally have it come out in a way that feels like it's just humming, then I can put that story out into the world, let it get rejected 800 times, and still be okay with it. So that is very internal, because another person could read it and be like, yeah, sounds great, send it out. And I'm like, it's not done yet, you know? And so that quest to make sure that the story is saying what I want, that's big.
Jeff, what about you? What keeps you creating stuff?
No, I'm kind of with Renee. I want it to be out there. I want people to see it and appreciate it. If it's just for me, I probably won't even get around to editing it. I could just take pictures and just, that's it. But no, I want the stuff out there. I want people to be seeing it. And I want to know that people saw it and liked it.
Yeah. You know, I have to say for me that the main thing that keeps me making it is money, because that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, you make a living on it.
So,
yeah.
You know, let's not forget that my art is largely, vastly commercial art. And so, you know, I'm hoping that what I'm doing will actually keep the lights turned on and put food in the refrigerator and do all of those kinds of things that we wanted to do. But in addition to that, you know, I do find that, like, beyond that, that I am making things that I want people to see. But then I also, there's some of the work that I do that I do for myself. I mean, I'm happy to show it to other people. And if not a million people love it, like, that's totally okay. Or even if they don't get it, like, if I can kind of see the thread through it. So, well, it's an interesting conversation to have with you about sort of what creatively turns you on, because I want to propose that the topic for our show today is, why the hell don't we just cancel all the fucking award shows right now? Let's just be done with them.
Okay.
Because I'm so tired of even thinking about them. And I think I'm a perfect person, absolutely the perfect person to talk about award shows, because I never watch them. And I couldn't imagine watching them in the first place. So I immediately have that sort of curmudgeonly bug against these shows to begin with. I will admit to sometimes secretly going onto YouTube and watching, like, you know, 30 seconds of something. If, you know, if the wrong award gets given out and I get the, you know, I get to have that little bit of Schadenfreude about, you know, yay, they gave out the wrong award. I'm so happy they screwed up.
Right.
But beyond that, I haven't seen an award show probably literally ever. And so I have a whole bunch of chips on my shoulder against award shows, but I think you guys both watch some award shows.
I didn't
every
this
now
one.
And then. You didn't this one. I know that.
No, I was
but you
protesting.
Do watch them. You
every
have
now,
seen them.
Yeah.
More recently than I have.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I follow them, but I haven't actually watched one.
Yeah, I don't have
forever,
live TV, so yeah.
So we yeah. are the perfect trio to have this conversation. So we can talk about them in sort of a way that I think is in kind of a big picture way.
Sure.
So the first thing I want to say, I actually, because I don't watch them, I had to go do a little bit of research and sort of figure out, you know, what the hell I'm talking about here. So I went and it's always, it seemed to me in recent years that, like, number one, there are just, if I wanted to watch an award show, there are just way too damn many of them, right? And so there's the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Grammys, the British Academy, the BAFTA Awards, the Screen Actors Guild. There's a thing called the ESPYs, which is for that other thing called sports, which apparently now is on TV. And there's the Spike TV Video Game Awards, there's Daytime Emmys, there's the MTV Movie Awards. And I'm just like, and it goes on, and I'm just like, come on, guys, you know, this is just a crazy amount of award shows. And people say they're too long. There's so many categories. It's like best person who put ink in the pen of the person who wrote this, you know, and it's like, so I think that there are a lot of categories that maybe the people who are winning the awards care about. But there are really, I'm even going to say, sorry, but best writer, like probably not a lot of people are really that excited. You don't hear after these award shows people going, yeah, that best writer award, that was so the interest is narrow.
Well, that's not true. But also,
I'm sure it's right.
But side question. Are you talking about canceling the award shows or the awards?
The shows.
Okay. So all of the production around the shows. The fanfare around
all
the shows.
The show. They should not be on TV.
Oh, gotcha.
They should not
okay.
be anywhere where anybody should see them ever and have to watch them. I'm totally happy if people get these awards. Like, they can go, I think, I read an article in The Guardian, and I'll look up the name of the guy who wrote this article, but he just referred to them as a circle jerk. And I think he's right, you know, because it's people of, it's this sort of cadre of artistic people giving each other awards. And there's so much, I'll talk in a little bit about how some of the sort of money is kind of marshaled and thrown towards these things. And then I have sort of a big picture that I want to lay out a little bit later about why I think in our world today, the awards are kind of problematic in a sense. But to me, they're just like, viewership is down. People are less interested in them, and they're fragmented. I mean, there are so many of them. And then what they really mean, as opposed to what they say they mean, I think is two different things, because we may talk about this a little bit later, but best of anything is not a quantifiable thing, really. So it's just a bunch of people who somehow are the ones who have the privilege of voting, like, who get to make those choices. And then, as we might see in a little bit too, I mean, the way they're affected to make those choices is really like something that a lot of people don't see if you kind of look behind the curtain. So, but first I want to say, do you get, when you watch award shows, do you like, are they entertaining? Do you enjoy, if you, neither of you are watching, are you just kind of like,
no,
yeah, screw this?
I have previously. I mean, like, for me, a person who consumes a lot of media, this is like my Super Bowl. Like, the award shows are a culmination of the different, it's like you have a fantasy football league but it's for movies and you're watching it to see if the person you banked on or the, you know, your team wins. And so, yeah, I have in the past previously enjoyed the fanfare of it and seeing that the thing that I had an emotional investment in is going to win, which is separate sort of as, you know, one of the Oscars So White, which is trending last year, and then this year. They left out a lot of female directors and other artists who it felt very glaring. So in protest, I did not watch.
Did you have a sign? Did you stand in front of your house? I'm not watching the Oscars.
The Oscars. I do not have a way to watch them, but I would not even if I could. In that sense, this sort of larger idea of what am I quote unquote putting my money to, and given that time is money, right? In that sense, in a very American way. Yeah, I decided I'm not going to watch these. I'm not going to give my time to the awards the awards that will leave out so many different people that I feel reflect my experiences and other sort of issues. So yeah, they're intrinsically biased and white and male, and so yeah, they're problematic. But that doesn't mean that I in the past have not had a lot of fun in the fanfare of it, in the same way that the Super Bowl has some fanfare.
Right now in my head, I'm still trying to troubleshoot what went wrong with the Valentine's Day episode. I'm trying to follow the conversation, but
You're talking about the sound?
Yeah. There were some sound issues a couple weeks ago, and in my head, I'm just trying to do cable tracing and line tracing. So
I fixed your mind, where it's like, doo, doo, doo.
Really trying to get on board in this conversation, but I don't watch awards shows.
No Oscar for Jeff for attention to detail. Getting that one this year.
Yeah.
So, or just not giving one in that category.
So did you not even, but you know about the fanfare around them, right?
The conversation around the award shows is more interesting to me than any award show ever will be. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time watching YouTubers talking about movies. So the topic of Oscars comes up. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get a vested interest in movies that represent my values getting recognized, and then shitty movies like Joker pissing me off. But the actual show itself, man, I can't remember I'm pretty sure the last one I actually watched, Billy Crystal was hosting.
Yeah. I mean, the host who's hosting has become a big issue, particularly because I don't know that a woman's hosted the Oscars before. Well, that's not true. They did do this weird thing where they had Anne Hathaway and a couple of other, they did this weird trio of people, quote unquote, hosting, which made very little sense. But, you know, there was this push for Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who had that year done the, it's not the lead into the Oscars, it's the awards before that, Screen Actors Guild, something. Again, there's so many of them. But they had just hosted that, and they had like sort of I almost said rocked it out of the park, which was mixing some metaphors, but knocked it out of the park.
They hit it out of the
they
concert.
Hit it out of out of the stadium. They had done a fantastic job. But again, the Oscars have been traditionally hosted by white men.
White dudes. Yeah. Actually, it's one of the things I wrote down in my notes. It's not even to say the awards that are given out, which is a totally a side thing, but we can talk about it. But just the shows themselves have not been a great representation of what's going on in the, what's going on in culture at the time. I mean, we've talked, there's been this sort of amazing ascendancy and power behind women, at least in some places in the movie business. And from everything I'm seeing in here, it's just not being sort of represented in what is kind of, to a lot of people, the face of the movie business, right? That this is if people think about who's making movies, the glamour of the movies and stuff like that. I mean, the Oscars and the Academy Awards, I think, are there in their thought process. And so if that process is not reflecting back,
right,
then it's just not right. There was an article in Vogue magazine that was by this woman named Michelle Ruiz. This was in 2019. And she says it's just strangely and awkwardly out of time, trapped by an antiquated, overlong wooden format, clawing aimlessly at sagging ratings. So apparently she likes it. And then she said the award show is dying a slow death. So, I think, and reading more into the into the article that she wrote, I mean, she talks a lot about how it's just, it's just this format that is just, kind of out of touch with the way that we do things. And I would throw out that, our media consumption now is so fragmented that how do you pick a best? You know, maybe there was a time when, you know, for people in most cities of moderate to above moderate means, there were very few avenues for entertainment, right? And so the movies were the place that they went, and they, like, that was where they consumed their entertainment. There wasn't TV, and they, you know, they might have gone to local concerts, but it was rare that, you know, the hot musical act of the day was going to come through your town and stuff like that. And it's now like, we have so much that we can go do. Plus, we can play video games at home. We can go on the internet. We can watch TikTok like Jeff does all the time. We can do like all of those things. And then we're sort of asked to then sort of focus back and say, okay, yeah, but what's the best movie?
I'm actually thinking about doing an awards show for TikTok videos. So just to annoy you.
Top TikTok? TikTok
tops. TikTok toppers.
TikTok toppers. I can't even say it.
I mean, okay, sort of counterpoint. I don't have live access to live TV, so I don't have a way to watch the Oscars. But I have very strong memories of, partly because at the there was a time when you had, like, because everything was, you didn't have Netflix, you didn't have Hulu, you didn't have ways to watch those films. You did make an effort to go to the theater. You saw the films. There was these extra steps you took to do that. And then there was the award show around that. In my family, we would watch the award show. And there was, Billy Crystal was a host. Jack Palance was doing push-ups. Like, there was this comedic gold that was struck by having the right host.
Sachin Littlefeather was protesting when Marlon Brando won the Oscar, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there was poignant stuff going on.
I didn't see that one, but yes, there's, yeah, like, they were sort of in the zeitgeist. They were, and there was sort of a sacredness to them that was very much about, and my family is a huge movie family. So yeah, we watched them. We sat down and like, my mom texted me this year and she said, "Are you watching the Super Bowl?" And I was here and was like, I mean, I'm here. I don't know if I'm watching it. And then the next week, was it almost like a week later, I was like, "Are you watching the Oscars?" And I was like, "No, I should have." And I was like, "I really should have gone to an Oscar party, because I mean, I was protesting them, but like, an Oscar party would have been my jam."
Could you have just worn black?
Yeah, just been like, yeah, just at the
an armband. I think an armband while you're having your dip.
Right.
It's like people could ask you about it. It's like,
and I could be like, "Here's another thing.
I'm here in protest. Could you pass the cheese plate?"
I mean, that's part of the fun of it. Yeah. Is that there? It's the food. It's like. I do find that fun. I mean, I'm really glad Parasite swept a lot of the Oscars, so that I can, as my brother texted me, he said, "You can watch the Oscars again." And I was like, "Yeah, I can now." You know what I mean? Like, that was a joke in my family, right, about that. But yeah, we were all, like, my family was communicating about the Oscars. We were not communicating about.
I think I saw a statistic that, and so I might be wrong on the number on this, but that 20% of the people out there have heard of The Handmaid's Tale. So now I'm thinking about Emmys, right? Because it's a TV thing.
Sure.
20% of the people have heard of the fact that there's a TV show. 20% of people in America have heard of the fact that there's a TV show called The Handmaid's Tale. So to 80% of people, regardless of sort of who they are, and let's assume that most of those people are watching some TV, right? They're getting it somewhere or whatever. To those 80%, like, whether or not The Handmaid's Tale wins something, it's kind of like irrelevant. Like, they have no skin in the game on that. Totally. And so I think, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about like this time with your family, but that's a time from a bygone era, because it's different, right? Are you watching the same shows that your parents and that your brother do now?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not watching anything that's anywhere remotely like what my mom watches, I'm sure. And I don't watch a lot of the same things that you two watch. And so if the three of us tried to have a party, like, we would be befuddled by the choices often, because we don't have a relationship with them.
I mean, I do. I mean, I get Entertainment Weekly. Like, I know about everything, even though I'm watching it. Handmaid's Tale, well, the book for one I've read, but way too intense for me. I'm not going to watch it, but I definitely know about it. Like, I guess it's a little difficult for me to sort of, because I'm in all of it, the music, the, like, I pay attention to who won the Grammys. I'm paying attention to who won the Emmys. Like, I I do live in all of this. And so it's every now and again, someone will be like, well, I don't have a TV and I don't watch TV. I'm like, what? Like, because it's like how that so much of my life is that. Oh, sorry, shouted really loud. Nana's here. So for me, it is a little hard to separate that because, like, are you watching an Emmy nominated, an Emmy winning show? Any in your lineup? Do you even know if you're
I
watching?
have no, I have no, I'm guessing because the stuff that I shall watch is the best stuff. So I have no
All those like
idea.
murders, those
I,
murder shows.
right. Yeah. Somebody got killed. That gets an Emmy. Right. Somebody solved it. Woohoo. Good. Yeah. I don't know because it, like,
It's not your thing,
it's not
no.
on my radar as to whether or not, you know, and not that the stuff that I watch is all niche. I mean, it's not. I actually like a lot of the stuff that's really popular. I'm watching Better Call Saul right now, you know, which I know a lot of people watch and I really like it. But I don't know if it's up for anything.
I think one thing we tend to do as people is what's called deficiency thinking, where we look at something and we just get hypercritical and just look at all the things that are wrong with it without.
Jeff's looking right at me while he's
Well, I
saying
Well, in this,
mean,
on any given night, day, it could be any one of us, depending on what the topic is. Today, it happens to be you. But when you look at it that way, when you just look at the things that are wrong with it, there's actually a lot of positive things that come out of the Oscars or out of award shows. There's a lot of like trades that otherwise would never get any recognition, but
Yeah,
you
I thought
know,
you would be
but
for that, right? Like they do like sound editing. I don't know
yeah.
what the fuck sound editing is. I don't really, but they still not. But it is a distinct versus sound
But
other
I mean,
things like.
let's break that down a little bit because I don't think we should take the awards away. I think the awards are great. I don't what I don't like is the sort of self-congratulatory aspect of it where all of a sudden it becomes culturally important. And you know, I would say I'm not so sure how culturally important this stuff is. I mean, clearly it is because movies are a big part of our culture. But let me say maybe I'm not so sure how culturally important it ought to be. And it feels to me like it has a like the these award shows have an inflated sense of themselves. So I want to see the sound editor get recognized, particularly amongst other sound editors. And I want that person to have that feeling like they did a good job and that they are being recognized for it. But nobody cares, frankly,
I
on
do.
that.
You're lucky that
You're
I know.
one.
You're lucky that I know about sound
Yeah.
editing. The reason I know about sound editing is because of the Oscars.
Okay.
Yeah, you're almost making an argument for having 50 different awards shows.
No,
Like
I
the Sound Editing Guild's awards and the Gaffer Awards and the Pen Filler
I actually think
Awards.
that would be a great
I
idea. Let
would.
all the gaffers get together and
And
pick the best gaffing.
we'll have an award show every single night. Each show will be
Right.
10 minutes long.
Well, I want to see the Man Booker Prize awards. I want to see some of those book
The
award
what?
man, the
The
man,
what? Oh my God,
man.
there's another award?
This is for writing. So the Man Booker
Oh,
Prize.
Man Booker Prize.
Prize, yeah.
Okay, in the context of film, that sounds very different.
Yeah, I don't know where your mind went, but like I'm just saying that like I would love to see
What does it mean?
it's a prize. It's a literary
I gotta
award.
say, that sounds like a pot boiler for C-SPAN right
No,
there.
it's the Booker Prize. Okay.
Is it one word, Man Booker?
Separate.
I'm
Is
so
it
confused.
coincidental that it says book in it?
No, I don't
Is
even
it the
know.
person who books the men?
No.
That's what I want to know.
No. It's just it's an international
I know
award.
the stuff you write is niche, but how niche
No.
are we
No,
talking?
so most of you may know about the Nobel Prize in literature, right? So there are a bunch of kind of like you just rattled off with there's a bunch of different prizes in literature, and the Booker Prize is one of the most quote unquote prestigious ones out there. So it is it's huge. Like it's in the literary world. It's yeah, like I mean I would love to see I would love to see I guess my point is you don't even know about it, right? I would love to see the award ceremony for that. To like see the all the authors dressed up and
I mean,
going to get their prize and
oddly enough, I'm with you on that. And I mean, I think that's sort of part of the issue that I have with these award shows is that you would like every sort of segment of creative society and maybe even beyond to have this kind of recognition. In practice, they don't. It's the same people giving the same people awards. Occasionally, there's some new You know, new acts, new people, whatever that kind of slip in. But, you know, how these awards are decided, I think like that's fascinating, right? Because there are these, you know, for your consideration campaigns that the studios put out.
Sure.
And they let, so people who are going to vote get to go to the movies for free. I have relatives who get for your consideration stuff. So they get all kinds of free DVDs. I've watched many of them myself. Thank you very much. I'm not supposed to, but you know, I think they're supposed to like shred them or something when they're done.
Edit
but
that out. Of course, our
nobody does that.
I've bought some in Kuwait.
Yeah,
I mean, when I was in Kuwait, we would go buy DVDs from the market, and they would say for your consideration on it.
Oh,
because somebody, you know, watched it and tossed it or didn't watch it at all. There are parties in LA that people get invited to. There are ads, like you drive around LA, there are billboards, and so what's kind of have this free, people get free stuff. The Golden Globes is decided by 87 writers for the Hollywood Foreign Press. 87 people decide on the Golden Globes, and it's very high stakes, right? So they get things like people send them gold coach watches. You know, they are influenced specifically. There are campaigns that target specific writers because they know they're going to be voting for the Golden Globes. And so really, I think what it comes down to so much is that it's about money, right? And so as much as it's not, you're not getting the best anyways, whatever they choose as the best in these categories, if a Hollywood movie gets a nomination for an Oscar or wins an, if they win an Oscar, that can mean something like $35 million extra dollars at the ticket office, right?
Sure.
Or the ticket box or whatever you call it that movies get their money from. At the box office. At that box, at that thing that's like an office, but it's shaped like a box. At that thing can mean like an extra $35 million. So they'll put like $10, $15 million into these campaigns for Oscars. And so what happens is that you don't really end up getting that group of gaffers. I know a lot of gaffers. Believe me, they're crusty dudes. Like, you know, and ladies, you don't get these gaffers like sitting around together going like, that was some great gaffing right there. It's, you know, it's influence. When Netflix wanted to win Emmys a few years back, what Netflix did was they paid $50 a pop to put Netflix signs in the yards of neighbors of people who voted on the Emmys. And then they sent food trucks around to the houses of people who vote on the Emmys and gave them a free lunch. And guess what? Netflix hadn't won any Emmys and they won 3 Emmys that year. And maybe they were just ripe to win Emmys. And we know it's a business. I don't even have a problem with the fact that it's a business. But I think that we fool ourselves if we think that what we're actually seeing is a celebration of what's the best. And that's probably the thing that annoys me most of all.
Well, I mean, what you're talking about is a critique of the actual reward system, which is different from the show itself, which is just celebrating the fanfare of those awards.
Can I make a connection up, though?
Sure.
If it wasn't for the shows, they wouldn't be doing the campaigns, because the shows are what go out to people, and so out to, you know, the general public like us. And for us, if we watch, then we see that you know, movie A won an award, and then that movie is bound to get an extra $35 million at the box office. So I do think it's if it wasn't that big a deal, like that, not that many people were seeing it, and it didn't have that much influence, then the awards would be awarded in a different way. So I would love to see the awards actually awarded in a way that like really sort of holds up some great work, but then always remembering that you can't pick a best anyways. I mean, come on, give me a break.
So are you Chomsky trying to incrementally reform the process until you get to some version of an ideal that you have? Or are you Foucault saying that any attempt to reform it is just going to recreate the same thing? So abolish. So just rip the whole house down.
I'm going to fall on the side of Chomsky there. And thank you very much. I find that very flattering. So
apparently
you think I'm as smart as Noam Chomsky. Yeah. That's great.
So if you're thinking about kind of, because all these things you're talking about are legitimate issues with the award system, like who makes up the membership, a whole bunch of old crusty white guys that just want to vote for things that reflect what they remember as the golden era of Hollywood, right? The campaigns, all these things that you're talking about are legitimate criticisms of the process. So what would be your version of this ideal system that we're working incrementally towards?
Ideally, the Utopian Awards would be given in a vacuum where there was no money influencing who won that award. Because I just guarantee that the best picture is not, whatever the best sort of best picture is, it's probably not what's getting recognized as best picture. And whoever did the best acting is probably not being recognized as being as the best actor.
I mean, I've watched a lot of the films that were nominated. And with the exception of Joker, I do agree with the ones that were nominated. Like, I do feel as if the acting was strong, cinematography strong, like, that these films, the films do reflect what I, who has grown up in a, in this cultural system, see as a measuring tool for what is considered quote unquote quality, right? So they do align with that. I don't think when I, every now and again, and I was trying to think if there was a specific instance where the Academy gave, if they had, let me just say this, if they had given awards to Joker, I would have been really upset. Now, it did get some awards and best actor, da da da. But I don't see it. It's leaving a lot of people out. But I would say it's sort of like anomaly on the page. It's not rewarding people for things that are horrible that I disagree with. Does that? It's more that there's a gap for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to reward things that are horrible, because then the system would be really transparent.
Right.
If Grandma's Boy was best picture in that year because it had the biggest campaign,
right?
Like, you'd know. So they can't, that
yeah.
can't really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that people are actually trying to be, for the most part, pretty probably above board in their voting. I mean, there are interesting things that happen if you have an actor or a director who was an actor has a movie up for best picture, it often wins because it's a lot of actors voting and they do know each other. And so, yeah, you're going to vote for your friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, things like that happen. But like I said, ideally for me, the utopian system would mean that you just voted in a total moneyless vacuum and it was really based on how good it was. And of course, Renee, The Lighthouse would have won this year. We know that. Renee is touching her forehead and she looks pained.
Oh, that hurt just even thinking about that idea.
No, I don't think The Lighthouse would have been Best Picture.
No.
But I would have voted for it. I would have given it it would be a strong runner-up for me. So I have a couple sort of big picture things that I want to throw out and have you react to. And I've said some of them. We've talked and you've brought some of them up. But these are sort of the things that I think we... that bear a little bit more talking, but we probably ought to go to a break right before we do it, and then
yes.
we'll come back.
Yes,
and we'll put a pin in some of this stuff, and we'll hear what you really think. So here are a couple things that to me are kind of like are sort of big picture, and we've talked about some kind of extreme positions, right? And we realize, like, these award shows, they're not going to go away. And people do like them, and there are probably some reasons for them to be there. But they have really been falling in terms of, like, ratings. There's some reasons for that. One of the reasons is there are so damn many of them. Like, you know, who's going to see all of them? You know, the MTV Movie Awards, the Oscars, and the BAFTA, and the NAFTA and the SAFTA and SHASTA and whatever, right? I mean, how many of those can you take in? Because we all want to be actually like watching movies, right? Which
sure.
is fun to watch movies, and we want to be watching TV and doing that kind of thing. So I want to throw this one out first, right? And I'm going to transcend the show just a little bit, and talk about this idea for me that I'm moving towards Foucault here, I'm finding,
and
away from Chomsky a little bit, that there's no best. Like, that, how do we sort of put ourselves in line with the fact that ultimately when you turn the TV off, which neither Renee or I have TV, but when you turn that off or when you read the list, you go, okay, so Parasite was best picture this year. And from everything I've heard, I will see Parasite. I haven't seen it yet. But it sounds like it was a deserving movie. So props to them for that. But is it in society the way it is right now, with the fragmentation that we have and the number of things that you can see and the way that you can be entertained, and the very few people who will actually see Parasite when you look at it compared to the number of people who are out there. Is Parasite actually best? Like, is there a best, or are we even just sort of chasing a shadow here?
Yeah, we're chasing a shadow, but so what? It's a fun shadow to chase. I mean, it's not a sport where there's an objective criteria. All of this is subjective, and I think most people understand that. So, you know, as long as you're not voting for the Joker, have at it, Hoss.
So what if Joker was best?
Oh, I would have had a protest for many years if that had happened.
Yeah, what's really interesting about this conversation is how this process, how these votes reflect values and people's perception of those values. So I mentioned earlier about like all the crusty old white guys that are in the Academy, and that is a huge problem because, you know, it's one of the biggest things to come out of the Oscars So White was a push to have more people of color actually as voting members, and it had an immediate effect on what kind of movies got nominated. Parasite, I don't think there's any chance in hell Parasite would have won or even been nominated 5 years ago. It just couldn't have happened. It probably would have been 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So the concept of having a worst, the concept of voting for a best, yeah, it's subjective, but it's also all in good fun. It is ultimately recognizing somebody for their achievement. So, but the process of how these things happen is, to me, where the real problems lie. You know, the fact that once, particularly this year in the wake of Me Too, a lot of the movies that were not a lot, but several of the movies that were nominated were like Joker, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like The Irishman, really felt like crusty old white guys clinging to a failing legacy. And it was their last bastion of, no, you're not taking my toys away from me. But Parasite ended up winning, and it was all about somebody taking their toys away from rich people. So,
yeah. And what I want, my vision of it is that it does expand, that it's more inclusive, that you don't have like, what, four female directors ever nominated, right? Like, it's astronomically low. I don't know if it's quite that low, but actually, I don't know that I'm that far off. Like, only one
female has won Best Director.
Right.
That was Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker.
Right.
Because she made a very male-centric hero story, a war hero story.
Well, rather, fairly, you know, critical of war, too, but.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was still, you know, but little Greta Gerwig is not getting nominated for Best Director, even though she absolutely should have been.
Yes. Like, right. But like, very few women are even nominated, much less win, you know, directors of color, writers of color. I mean, like all of that sort of stuff is kind of huge. And I will say, so one of the big award things in the writing community is the Hugo and Nebula Awards, which are both awards that are given for science fiction. And there is an actual award ceremony, which is not televised. But in last year, maybe 2018, I think, N.K. Jemisin is a female woman, she's Black, who wrote the Stone Earth series. She's the only person who all three novels in the trilogy have actually won awards. And she stood up and gave one of the most epic speeches about disrupting. She's like, because she's a Black woman writing in the world of science fiction, which has also traditionally been dominated by white men, and stood up there and gave, and I will link to it in the Facebook page because it was phenomenal. Like, she, you could, one, those books are literary and they're beautiful and amazing. Like, the books definitely deserve to win. And then she stood up there and talked about, like, I'm fucking here. And we're disrupting the system because we're now winning these types of awards. And she's basically like, get used to it. And that award ceremony, like, again, made the rounds in the writing community because her speech was like just kick ass. And so a couple of women have been coming up, and a couple of like non-binary writers as well, been coming up and sort of disrupting the system. And the award ceremony has been a way to really celebrate the disruption. And it's been really exciting. Like, so then those things start going viral amongst, like, they're like handheld sort of like recordings of the award ceremony, And it has made those award ceremonies like very exciting for writers to see. So like that's one I'm like, let's televise the Hugo Awards, and I want to see that. I want to see the disruption happening. So if that could happen with the Oscars, I would be like, I'd be hosting the Oscar party if that happened.
But think about, excuse me, think about, recently, Ricky Gervais stood in front of everybody and said, okay, let's not get political, and kind of like cast aspersions that people are going to get political. And you're talking about these Hugo and Nebula Awards, which I'm sure economically make a big difference to the publishing houses and to the authors and stuff, but maybe not to the tune of $35 million, but maybe, I don't
No,
know.
not
I
that
can't
much. No,
imagine
no, 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 yeah.
that it's ever going to be that unless maybe you're Stephen King or something. So,
Right.
but that's not televised and the message still made it through, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if like the people who vote are more able to vote in a way that is less influenced because the numbers are lower. It's
The
still
stakes are lower
important.
in some ways.
I mean, the stakes are very important to the individuals, probably the most important thing in their life in some ways. Like, I'm sure winning an Oscar is probably for a lot of people like the best thing that will ever happen to them, other than personal things that they're happy about their family and stuff like that. But, as a sort of a way of recognition. And, if there's less influence involved in that, then maybe you have the opportunity for a situation like this woman comes up more quickly. And it should, right? That there's more of that's just available to people. And so maybe if we're watching these award shows, we're sort of like complicit a bit in being influenced by them.
Absolutely, which is why I protested. I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna support this sort of thing. But I do think that there are people who are like, I don't wanna, like, they're kind of like, just let me get my fucking due. Like, writers of color, performers, directors who are just like, don't burn the system down before before I get my gold statue, right? Like, so in that sense, I feel like the push to sort of incrementally move the system to be improved is worth something, because I also don't want to like yank it off the TV and be like, now if the people of color are just right behind being like, but I wanted to give my speech, right? Like, so there's also that part of it. I want to hear their speeches.
So last little kind of big picture piece that I have sort of expands this out into even a little bit more of a helicopter view of the whole thing. And it's like one of the things I said I was going to be a curmudgeon, right? So I have adopted that role for this episode of the podcast. But how important really, I mean really, and I make my money doing creative stuff, but let's say how important really is a really good acting performance compared to like a scientist who's coming up with, the newest vaccine or a humanitarian who's doing really important stuff. Because it seems like as a culture, we're so fascinated by what dress they wore and what they said at the Oscars. And I just like it's this is the thing that sticks in my craw, and probably why I don't watch these award shows to begin with, is it's just ultimately feels like it's that circle jerk that the author talked about in the Guardian article, where it's like it ends up being an in-group of people congratulating themselves.
I'm actually having flashbacks to Dead Poets Society, and I'm picturing John Keating saying, math, science, all these endeavors are great and important to sustaining life, but art, that's why we live. So
Or
that's
in that
my.
thing you just tagged us in on Facebook the other day, was
Oh,
it?
the Prince? Yeah, the Prince performance.
No. The one where
Oh, yeah. About authors. Yeah. So there was a meme that somebody had passed around that I shared that basically said, if you, for anybody that doesn't think there's a value in art, throw away your TVs, throw out all your music, throw out all your paintings, throw out every form of art that you consume, and then try to explain to me what the value of art is. So, and going back to the quote from Dead Poets Society, or the paraphrase from Dead Poets Society, because I don't have the actual quote in front of me. Yeah, I mean, science, is it important? Sure. But I'll put art right up there with it, because without it,
Yeah, I don't
why?
want to like knock it down a
Yeah.
notch. I would just love to elevate. I would love to have people as interested in some of the things that are going on that other people are doing as they are in like I said, what Anne Hathaway wore, because to me, or at least to have a good sense of the of where that sort of fits in terms of what's important in life. And I think that these award shows that we have tended to pick these very sort of narrow, these narrow slices of our lives and then put a lot of spotlight on them. Because even if you go see a lot of movies, I don't know how often you go see
once a week.
So that's, you know,
two hours. I've seen two this week.
You've seen two this week. So let's say you saw three. So that's 6 hours that you spent this week. But you had a life outside of the movies.
Well,
two.
Not much.
So it's just, to me, that's always something. And that's not something that you can fix. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, let's change this. Let's go in and rewire people's brains for this. But, you know, as a show that we do, like with What the What, you know, I'd love for people to be a little bit more culturally literate. And be able to actually sort of, in my mind, part of that would be to be able to put this where it belongs, which is, I do think it's important to have art. I do think it's important to entertain people, but I'm not so sure that we haven't just turned these people into gods. And I'm not sure that we really need them to be gods. And I think that the award shows just do an awful lot to support that.
Okay. Yes. There, you know, and the anthropologist can speak to this, like, there is something in humanity that just loves to adulate people. Like, we love having our royalty to look up to. We have, you know, famous football player. I mean, like, we love to cheer, clap, and adore people whose lives are very far away from ours. So we, yes, but I don't, like, we could sort of take that out, but we would replace it with something else. Like, I'm telling you, it's sports. It's famous people, it's queens and kings, it's the chief of the village, it's like something we have done. We just love putting someone
captain of the cheerleading squad and the football quarterback.
We love putting someone at the apex and being like, adore, adore. So yeah, I mean, I think there's something real fundamental to humans that's like, we're used to falling into a hierarchy that's like, someone's got to be up at that top. And then there's this idea of like, can it be me, right? Like, that's kind of, and that may be a very Western perspective, but I think anthropologically speaking, we definitely sort ourselves in a hierarchy pretty frequently. So,
and yeah, there's it's kind of odd, weird to think about it, really odd, that there's actually a whole school of philosophy that looks at celebrity. Like, it's a little tiny one, but there are people who write about, like, why did this even come about in the first, like, why do we have celebrities? How did they fit? You know, when we lived in caves, who were the celebrities? And why was it important to be able to sort of recognize the face of somebody? You know, and we see people and we kind of feel like we know them. Like, that's what celebrity brings. And so, again, in just trying to be sort of culturally literate about this stuff, I actually don't care if the award shows go, I'm not going to watch them. They're not really my thing, but I don't really care if they stay or go away. But I just would love it if, in that sort of utopia that we talked about, if the voting was a little bit more genuine and a little bit less influenced by money. And okay, spoiler alert, that's not going to happen. I know it. I get it. Right. And then number two, that we put it on the shelf at the same level as other people who are doing what they do in their careers and lives and doing a really good job of that too. And spoiler alert, because they're celebrities, there's no way to do that, because intrinsically, by being a celebrity, you've already transcended yourself as a person to the public. You probably haven't done that personally, but to the public, you are a transcendent image of a human being. And so that's just never going to change.
I am. Oh, wait, you meant.
Oh, yeah. Other than Renee, of course. So I think we've all decided, right, that we're getting rid of the award shows.
No, we're keeping them.
We're getting rid of
what? Until we get nominated for some kind of podcasting award thing. And then I would be there with my three-piece tuxedo, whatever the hell they're called. My Chewbacca onesie. I haven't decided yet.
We will spend so much money being like, for your consideration. What the what?
So what do we have in the budget right now? We have like 14 cents, I think,
that we can put. We'll spend our whole dollar. Right.
If we get nominated for an award, we will spend 1,000 times our advertising budget to get that award.
So which is still zero.
So what are you guys into this week?
Oh,
What's turning you on? What's fun?
Okay, I'm a little behind the times. I went and had book club yesterday. We read, it just went out of my head because that wasn't the point. The point is we read a great book, Sally Rooney's recent book. And one of my friends, Morgan, was just out of the blue, was recommending the Netflix documentary about the Fyre Festival, and was sort of going on waxing like poetic and rage about how like sad and terrific and amazing it was that this all happened. So I went and watched that last night, and it was amazing. I mean, it was mind-blowingly horrible what happened, but also amazing just because, speaking about putting people up in pedestals, right? Like, we let this douche get away with a bunch of stuff. The one of the hugest debacles, like, you know, PR debacles, all this stuff. It was amazing to watch, and the documentary was well done, and I don't usually watch documentaries, so I actually went back, because that was like, what, 2 years ago or something when those came out? But I'm just now getting on board.
Just about a year ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually talked about it on the show a ways back. Just, I think, at the end, like, what we were watching, or I think it
Does
came
out
at
see
some
it?
Point.
Was,
so, I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, the one, Netflix it. Or the Hulu one?
No, I won't watch the Hulu one because paid him.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, no, but the Netflix.
On the Hulu one, they paid him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why If I misspoke. Yeah. They paid him on Hulu. They did not pay him for the Netflix documentary. And Renee and I are both talking about the Netflix documentary, and I will not watch the Hulu one.
Exactly.
I won't watch the Hulu one.
Same. Did you see it too?
No, I won't watch it.
No, the Netflix one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that. I watched that about a year ago.
It was really well.
It was fascinating.
Loved it. It was
hubris, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So much.
You write things. You know about hubris. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the moment from that. Here's the moment from that documentary that I will never forget. And that was when these kids realized that there weren't enough tents, there weren't enough beds. Exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
One of the guys started going around and pissing on mattresses and slashing tents to keep.
We didn't want neighbors, he said.
Yeah.
Like, they suddenly just turned on each other. Like, it was very.
In my experience with millennials, this could be a whole different show, is actually like really good, like really, really good in people that I've worked with and stuff. So I'm talking about individuals that I've had experiences with.
I'm like, where's
this
going?
And I don't buy into the like a lot of the knock that like the boomers like me have against millennials because I think there's a lot of good. But the Fyre Festival is the worst of the millennials because they are doing some things that just like don't like personally.
Rich millennial. Rich
I wouldn't blame
people.
Them. Yeah, I say
it's the worst of them.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's all of them. Right. Yeah. I said that those people on that documentary are the worst.
Yeah.
Of them.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't ascribe that to the generation. I would ascribe that to the class, and more specifically, the class aspiration.
I'm totally with you
because I know I've met some boomers that would act just as shitty in the same situation.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything to try to stand up for boomers in this at all. But I'm just saying that,
okay,
like, boomer. I could see, like, if
I was taking a drink, I would have said it.
If my mom watched that, like, it would be perfect fodder for her because she would be happy to generalize out to all millennials.
Right.
It's like, well, there you go. That shows. And I just want to make the point that that has not in general been my experience.
Correct.
But the people on that show who decided to go there for the reasons they decided to go there, and it didn't end up working out well. And the way that they acted when it didn't work out well, that's the worst of them.
Yeah.
I was just very impressed with the man who prepared himself to give a blowjob in order to release the water in tanks. Like that, I was like, who?
I know.
That's next level charisma.
Yeah. I'd have to really think about that. Like, do I really want the water to come through? I
think. Who do you have in your life that could ask you that question that you would be agree to do it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That should be the new standard, ride or die or blowjob.
Right. In case everything else fails, I agree too.
Listen, I know you always got my back, but when you give a blowjob to a stranger.
So, and if you haven't seen the documentary, now you want to.
You should. It is amazing.
It's a good documentary. So, Jeff, what are you watching? What are you into?
So, my review is up on Bandwagon Fans for The Photograph. Love this movie. It was absolutely beautiful. Just can't say enough about it. It was absolutely wonderful.
And I'm watching the latest season of Better Call Saul on Netflix. And I had to go back as I do, because I don't have a fabulous memory for like what came before. And Better Call Saul gets complicated because it's working in two time dimensions, not time travel, thank God.
Sure.
But it's all what just happened in the series to get to this point, and then knowing what's going to happen, because the characters who are in the series also appear later in Breaking Bad. That's not a spoiler alert, of course. Everybody in America knows that, or at least the 20% who've heard of Better Call Saul. So, but I just love it. I love the acting. It's just good. And it's one of those really weird, uniquely, I think kind of uniquely American shows that where there are a whole bunch of different things kind of going on, all sort of laying against a ground of normalcy, but they're all just really weird. Like there's weirdness that lays on top of normalcy, that lays on top of weirdness, that lays on top of normalcy. And I'm just really enjoying that. And I think really good performances.
Emmy nominated.
It has an Emmy nominated, and I won't watch. So sorry. Better not.
Call Saul.
Call Saul. Better not call me, because I won't see it.
There's someone in Tucson who has a Better Call Saul license plate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah. Well, let me apologize for all of my curmudgeonly my curmudgeonly nature coming out in spades in this particular episode. So, but I think are we all in? Do we have anything? Do I need to apologize to anybody? Are we going to be okay?
No, maybe I'm sorry to our listeners, but
all right. I'm sorry. I'm not really, but no, maybe not. A little bit. All right. Well, this has been What the What, and I'm Scott.
Jeff.
Wait, you talked over each other. Let's do that again. I'm going to try that again. This is, and then I'm going to point. Okay, this is What the What.
Renee.
Jeff.
I just pointed at myself. Scott. What the what?
The what?
What the what?